Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. According to my guest this evening, women said they could do it all, so they got it all. All being family, career, and self-fulfillment. However, the price that many women pay to run this race includes health challenges, career delays, more financial responsibility, and more expectations from society that they should be able to do it all without missing a meeting, losing their cool, or looking frazzled. Tonight we talk with Yvonne Talley, the author of a very special book that you will want to get a hold of. It's called Breaking Up with Busy. And we're going to talk about real-life solutions for overscheduled women. Yvonne Talley leads meditation and de-stressing programs for corporations, individuals, and private groups in the Silicon Valley. She is an NLP neuro-linguistic practitioner and master practitioner. Yvonne co-founded Poised Incorporated, which, among many other things, offers Pilates and a wellness training studio. She is the founder of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Scarves, a charity that provides headscarves for people undergoing chemotherapy and surgery. Yvonne lives in Northern California. It is a pleasure to welcome Yvonne Talley, author of Breaking Up with Busy, to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Yvonne.
Good morning, Ellie. Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, you know, I wanted to know what really made you concentrate on this book, because it's so important to all women. We all lead busy lives, but it's amazing that you focused in on it. What caught your attention?
Well, I think the biggest thing was I've been spending years working with what I call overscheduled women, and I have been in the health and wellness business, so I was always finding ways to live a vibrant and healthy life, and that's what I help my clients do, until one day I experienced my own setback, or I should say push forward, when I thought I was having a heart attack, and I ended up in the back of an ambulance and headed to emergency, thinking I was having a heart attack, and it ended up being a panic attack. Never had one before, never had one since, but it scared me enough that I thought, if this could happen to me, an organic, eating, healthy, exercising, positive-thinking person, then it's got to be a bigger problem than what I'm seeing. And that's what really inspired me to set out and find some solutions first for myself and then also for my clients. And what I found is the solutions were right at my fingertips because I had been teaching them to my clients, just not using them for myself.
Well, that's an interesting That's an interesting
the cobbler
observation.
Without the shoes is right. What it ended up being.
What do you find? Now, you have a little, you have a captain, you call it OWS. Is that correct?
OSW.
Over,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
OSW, right. And tell us what that stands for.
Well, that is the overscheduled woman, and I think probably most women have felt like an overscheduled woman at least at some point in their life, especially when family and career are being built simultaneously. And even, you know, many of my clients do not have children, and they experience that same expectation and demand. It's that get-it-done attitude that's so deeply embedded in most of us, and we frequently opt out of doing something for ourselves when someone else close to us requests our time. That would be one of the sentences that definitely happens frequently. So she puts herself at the end of her list, and she becomes optional. Her own wellness becomes optional. And that imbalance between obligation and expectation and that lack of personal replenishment, that's what makes this OSW so difficult for, you know, that type of lifestyle so difficult, and really a health consideration as well. So it's balancing the three, not only the obligation set our expectation at a real level, and then the personal replenishment. And that was what was important to me. You know, we can't care for other people that are important to us if we don't care for ourselves first. So that was the solutions and the practices that were so important for me to share in the book.
Well, I think, and you do such an excellent job of showing how women would rather, you know, put another person first rather than themselves.
And yes, it becomes a habit then also. And then we lose that boundary that, you know, I think this is really about boundaries. When we have healthy boundaries for ourselves, then we demonstrate and model for those that we're influencing. So that's the first thing, is to set healthy boundaries. Yes, so it's this idea that everybody's going to come before us because that is, quote, what we're supposed to do. And it's not about what we're supposed to do. It's, I often say, you know, when we've done enough, it is our best, and that's okay. We don't have to continually go over and over and try to be everything to everybody all the time.
You know, it reminds me of a personal situation. I have four children, and when they were growing up, I found myself, I don't know, they must have been 10, 8, 6, or 11, 9. They were all 2 years apart. And I remember being in the laundry room with all of this laundry, plus my husband's, plus the household. And I said, my God, I can't do this anymore. And I said to my husband, you know, I feel overwhelmed. So we sat down with the family, and my husband laid out the rules, and he said, look, mother, you are now going to be responsible for your own laundry. You're old enough, and you're capable enough. And mom will do the household and you know, et cetera. And if you want to share the laundry with one another and take, that's up to you. But you're not going to let mother do all of your laundry. And that worked out. And that worked out.
Well, that's the important part, is to set those boundaries. I mean, I remember raising my daughter as a single mom, and I, at age 7, taught her that now it was time for her to start doing her laundry. I put a step stool in front of the washing machine so she could actually get up there and do her laundry. And I remember a friend saying, how could you? She's so young. Shouldn't you do that for her? And my point was always, this is a life skill. When we allow those people, when we share with them and teach them how to do things that are going to be for independence and self-care, then they start to not only build their confidence, when I'm talking about our kids, they also get a great life skill. So this is important that we set those boundaries, not only for ourselves, but we demonstrate them for the people that we influence as well.
It just reminds me of an incident where I was walking with a very dear friend, neighbor, and she was expecting her college-age son home, and she said, oh, my God, he's going to bring all this laundry. I'll be doing laundry forever. And I said, I don't have that problem. She said, why? Because I've arranged. They come home and do their own laundry.
Yeah.
So that's just one avenue. Let's come on to something else. What else do we overschedule?
Well, as far as time, that's the thing that we're overscheduling. We're multitasking, thinking that we're going to get more done. In reality, the brain can't function effectively when we're trying to accomplish two dissimilar tasks at the same time. So this idea that if we multitask, we get more done, we don't. We end up making more mistakes, and that ends up taking more time. But because time is so valuable, because it's seen as being a real commodity now, as you know, as economies rise and incomes rise, time becomes more valuable. So we want to push as much as we possibly can into that space, because we don't want to waste it. And because of this idea, we end up doing double tasking, multitasking, and we get ourselves into this pinch where we feel as though we have to get so much done in such a short amount of time. Also, busy has that allure that if we're busy, we're important because we have a lot to get done. And when everyone else around us is busy and we want to be, that's our group, that's our reference group, those are the people we share our lives with. Well, for us to be part of the group, we do the same things that the other people do. So if you're busy and I'm busy, then we're all part of this group, part of this elite pack of doers and change makers. And that's a big part of how this gets set up. For women, even more so. as far as we make, you know, 80 cents on the dollar compared to men. And if you're a woman of color, you're making about 63 cents on the dollar. So just the economics of it alone push us to be get more done, more time with less boundary.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobrow, and my guest this evening is author and a therapist, too. Is that right?
No, I'm not a therapist, but I am a neuro-linguistic master practitioner. So we deal with the language of the mind, and I'm a wellness and health consultant.
And Yvonne Talley has written a wonderful book that every woman should take advantage of. It's called Breaking Up with Busy: Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Yvonne, is there a way that people can connect with you? Do you have a website or that?
Yes, I do. It's YvonneTalley.com. Pretty easy. Uh-huh. Just myname.com, and that's my website, and you can find all my information there.
Very good. So let's talk about, was there anything special that inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, I just think that this was something, not only my own personal experience of being caught in that trap of getting it all done and that attitude that I have to be everything to everybody all the time, and then wanting to help my clients as well move from that, find their best selves and set some boundaries where they're able to do that. Because what I was seeing was my clients were coming in tired. They were coming in frazzled. And even though we were doing all the good eating and all the good exercising, that's what really got me interested in this, the mindset of it. How could we really make sustainable changes that were, or shifts, I should say, just small, one step at a time shifts to get people back to a place where they felt good, where they could take a deep breath, where they didn't have that overwhelming feeling of guilt all the time. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I can't get enough. So that's really what inspired me. I wanted people to feel better about who they are, because we all have those special gifts. We all have something to share and offer. We just have to have a boundary around it.
And you mentioned in one of your chapters, you're recognizing that you are good enough because of who you are, not solely because of what you do. And it's part of your escape from this trap of the overscheduled woman. And I think that's a very important concept that we're going to talk about in the second half of the program, about how our mind really overwhelms us with the aspect that we're not good enough, we're not doing enough, and we've got to do more. And we have to accept anything that is thrown our way just to demonstrate that we are good enough.
Yes. It's an easy trap to fall into when we start to attach those emotions to the outcome. And we forget that as a person, that's what we are about, not about all this constant doing and keeping up.
And we're going to talk more about this when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Elena Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Yvonne Talley, who has authored a very special book that every woman in this listening audience might want to take advantage of. It's called Breaking Up with Busy. And Yvonne leads meditation and de-stressing programs for corporations, individuals, and private groups in the Silicon Valley. And she is a neuro-linguistic practitioner and she offers Pilates and wellness training in her studio. We were talking about how women find themselves criticizing themselves and always seeking to be, quote-unquote, more perfect. How do you help people to have women have self-compassion for themselves?
Yeah, that's one of the exercises in the book, and it really came up when I was working with a client who had been in a family of women who set a really high bar. So her focus was to always be enormously professionally successful, and she had a lot of children and a marriage that was suffering because she was giving her what she called her best to her work, and it was fracturing the relationships within her family. And this is something that I find is quite common with many women, and it doesn't mean that we have to give up one for the other. It means that we have to find a better balance for it. And we also have to give ourselves a little self-compassion. So this idea that, you know, I asked them a few questions. You know, do we accept others that are not perfect? Do we lend a hand when someone is struggling? Do we judge others if that isn't their best? And most of the time, you know, the answer is, of course, yes, of course. And then when I turn the questions on the individual, on the client, you know, do you accept your imperfections? The moment of pause is typically no. So getting to that area that we can accept our imperfections, that we can allow ourselves to struggle and allow other people to help, that we do not judge ourselves and compare ourselves, that we choose to step into allowing ourselves to be lighter on ourselves rather than always judging ourselves. So it's just first we look at what we do for other people, but then we have to turn that on ourselves and allow ourselves to feel that as well. No judgment, self-compassion.
Now, you advise in your book, which I find so helpful, you talk about in each of your chapters, you have a daily practice. And in the one that I'm looking now, it says, nurturing a mindfully inspired state of being. What do you mean by that?
Well, many of the times we spend our mind space and we spin our thoughts around what we are trying to avoid or that we're afraid of. So practicing compassion begins within. And so that's how you can get into that mindfully inspired state of mind. Will I give my imperfections space? They are a part of me. Again, it's that acceptance and that release of judgment. And if we get ourselves, there's five questions in the book, allowing ourselves to be in that space, we get ourselves really conscious about, take a deep breath, and yes, I actually can engage in allowing myself my imperfections. I can allow other people to help me. And with that comes a whole complete different state of mind. It's not such a burden. You know, when we judge, we carry a huge burden. And so when we release that, and we allow some compassion for ourselves, where we turn on to ourselves and say, yes, I am feeling love for you, and I will protect you, and I will honor that today. And that just lifts our spirit. It's a state of being.
And there's one, there's a comment, one of the suggestions you make in the book, breaking up from the overscheduled woman trap, one of the chapters, you have, today, if failure shows up, I will choose to accept it as opportunity. I'll look for the silver lining and see it as a gift to me. I accept my whole being just as I am. Mm-hmm. I just think that is so special.
Well, again, it's that conscious thought. That's a big part of what NLP helps us do, and meditation, of course, helps us do that, to be in that conscious thought. I always say that, you know, our mind is the most expensive real estate that we have within our physical body, and we have to honor that with our thoughts. Our thoughts should be honored. So when we allow ourselves to have that conscious thought of what you just expressed, we get ourselves, we start to actually look for those things, and those things we attract as well that we want rather than what we fear.
Well, I think that's a beautiful point. And how do you help, how have you helped people to change their perspective? Because we as women, we want to succeed, and we find ourselves competing and maybe with other women, and we also want to show how well we can succeed in business, in our parenting. How have you helped women to accept themselves completely?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with some of the things you've just pointed out, that self-compassion, just being really mindful about what our thoughts are. One of the big things is helping them establish healthy boundaries. I always think of boundaries like handrails on a staircase. Everyone feels better when they're there. So once they start to get that idea, or that concept in their mind. And then also the idea of family and career, of setting some boundaries around that as well, and pointing out to them and sharing with them and helping them to learn that when there's the give and take. We talk about this a lot, the overgiver in each of us. And when we are always in the position of giving, we take away the experience of someone else being able to do the same.
Can you give us an example of a person you were dealing with who was in this process of overgiving? We're all there, but I think we all need a reminder.
Yes. So I had a client that I work with who was the first person to graduate, female to graduate in her family, and she had two daughters that she was raising. And so it was very important to her to provide them with an excellent education. And because of that, she ended up having to take on additional work. So she was working two jobs, often taking side work on top of that to help her daughters get through college. And what ended up happening is her self-care kind of went to the wayside. She stopped working out. She started drinking too much in the evening and just not taking care of herself. Now, when her daughters graduated, she continued that lifestyle. She continued to drink too much. She continued not to work out. She continued working the jobs. And what she had to do was come back to realize that she did not have to do that anymore, that this was something that she could change. Not that she should, but that she could. And once she realized, once we use those words, the could and the should, I could change this. I could be different in my life. She was able to step back and set new boundaries for herself. She could continue to work two jobs if she wanted to, but we now started to set some personal goals for herself that would enrich her as an individual, rather than always doing something for someone else. And what happens is we get so in the habit of doing something that we forget why we're doing it, and that it does have an expiration date, and that we have to check in with, how am I feeling? Who am I in this moment? And it might sound corny to do that, but it's very, very powerful and helpful to help us edit our lives on a daily basis.
That's a wonderful way to put it. We need to learn how to edit our lives. And that takes away the compulsion to do everything when we look at it as editing.
Yeah, the edit is one of those things. For instance, when we are constantly, as you said earlier about the laundry, we have all of those chores and those daily tasks, and then we volunteer for too much at school. I had a client who was constantly volunteering. She realized it was too much volunteering, so she sent in her sister as the stand-in most of the time. And when she was in the grocery store one day, a friend of hers saw her. She said, "Why don't we ever see you at school anymore?" And she says, "Well, I volunteer for everything." But what she was doing is she was outsourcing everything. And she had to, she wasn't really doing what she thought she was, because she didn't figure out who she wanted to be in that process. She thought she had to do to be perfect. And what she realized is she needed to edit her life so that she could be the person that she wanted to be.
So that really helps us to look at ourselves and what we really want and determine who we want to be, not what is expected of us.
Yeah, and it can be easier said than done sometimes. That's why the conscious thinking is so important. That's why the mindful habits are important, as far as when I speak with a client and they say, I can't meditate. I mean, we hear that quite often. But meditating is not something we do. It's a way of being, and it's a practice. So how do we get good at something, or how can we make something resourceful? We practice it. So we start out with 1 minute a day for meditation, and we move into that space of creating that habit that's healthy and well for us, and then we can maybe move to 3 minutes. So that's really the important part to remember, is that if we want to make these shifts in our lives, it's not this big leap that we have to do, that we can start with one small change at a time.
Well, I think that's a beautiful concept. And please give the name of your website again, so if people want to connect with you and find out further information. And the book, again, is Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Give your website again.
Yes, it's YvonneTally.com, and that is spelled YvonneTally.
And that's it, Yvonne Tally, Breaking Up with Busy?
Yeah, YvonneTally.com. You can find everything there. You can order the book. You can find my services there, and that will take you to all of my social media as well.
Well, I really think that this book is a gift. Can you give us an example of another person that you worked with who was suffering under this wish to accomplish and to do so much that they overlooked who they really are?
Well, I can tell you that one of the common threads is that this idea that we have to keep up within the group. And I remember one client telling, I call it Cookie Gate, because she was in charge of cookies to be delivered to her child's room for the in-classroom event. And she had a very demanding career on top of raising her children. And she'd spent the whole evening the night before to get prepared for this. She wasn't a baker, but she decided she'd do the homemade thing because it was, quote, better. So the morning she was to deliver it, she ended up having car issues that she couldn't get the cookies out of the car, couldn't even get out of the parking lot of her office, and ended up arriving late. And she said when she arrived, the group of women that were there, the alpha mama, kind of came over to her and said, "That's fine. We've already gotten other cookies. We don't need your cookies." And she just felt, she said to me, she said, "I felt like I got kicked out of a group. I didn't even, a team, kicked off a team I didn't even know I was a part of." And so it's that expectation, that comparison that constantly feeds at us. And we often think, well, I'm a successful career woman, or I'm a successful stay-at-home mother, or I'm doing both. Most women are doing both. How can I let the influences of others make me feel this way? But we do. And that's why, again, it's important to have mindful practices so we don't get into that loop of unconscious thinking and just reacting. Responding to a situation rather than reacting is most often going to be the best solution.
Well, I think that is a very good good point, that very often we are reactive and not responsive. And
yes.
Reacting has no thought to it. And responding gives us the opportunity to have some thinking behind it.
It requires more, it's more effort. You know, the brain is, our habits are designed to conserve the energy of our brain. They're important, just like a first responder. You know, they're reactive. They have to be. That's what's going to save their lives and the people that they're rushing into a burning building to help. But when we react, it's because it's a habit that we've developed. So getting aware and taking a pause, I would say imagine a big pause button in front of you. Hit that pause button. Take a deep breath, maybe three. It's just enough time for you to consciously come up with a solution.
Thank you, Yvonne Talley, author of Breaking Up with Busy, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that we do not need to do it all. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.